I am from this matter. Justice Stacey's recusing this matter in court. Court being joined by Chief Judge, Court Appeals Board. Justice White is presiding. Give me a second to exit the courtroom.
Good morning. Mr. Jacob is not present.
Good morning.
Good morning.
May it please the court. Kyle Sitta, Assistant Attorney General. I am appearing on behalf of the appellees in this case, the Department of Correctional Services. Background of this case is fairly straightforward. Mr. Jacobs, a pro se inmate, he's incarcerated in Nebraska. Mr. Jacobs had a typewriter had text memory function. And a text memory means it can store previously entered into an interior. It's like a save function on a function. Now, at some point in time, in 2013, it appears that this typewriter is broke. So, naturally, he sends it out of the institution and gives it to him. It turns out that staff informs Mr. Jacobs that text memory typewriters are not allowed in the institution, and that he'll need to make arrangements to send it to its final disposition. Mr. Jacobs clearly does not agree with this and does not like it. And he files suit in Lancaster County District Court and loses on a motion to dismiss. There's some procedural wranglings, but we are now finally here by you on the merits of the case. And I think there's two main issues I'd like to talk with you about today. The first issue is whether or not Jacob has a state-created right or privilege to use this typewriter to make it easier to write his pleadings for the court. The second issue, well, not specifically pled by Jacob, I think it's so wound up in the DNA, in this case, it's worth mentioning. And that is whether or not Jacob's due process property right to have this typewriter was infringed in some way. So turning to that first issue about state-created rights and privileges, I litigate in this area a lot. I find it convoluted and ingenious. For my sake, it helps to get 30,000-foot view of the law here and proceed in that analysis. And I think the best question to begin with is, what is the federal standard? Because this will set the basis. And the federal standard in this is Lewis v. Casey that runs through and runs through. Because Mr. Jacob is saying he'd like his typewriter to make it easier to write his pleadings so he can access the courts. And access to the courts claim for the attorney. Now, in his brief, Jacob says at the outset, he concedes, I can't win this case on the Lewis v. Casey standard. So what he says instead, I'm not alleging the federal rights. I'm not alleging Lewis v. Casey. I'm alleging that there's a state-created privilege that lets me use this typewriter. So that's the second step in this analysis. When do you forge a state-created right? When has Nebraska said, you get to use a typewriter? And this proceeds in two steps. Like any law school outline, there's always subparts. You take a test. And there are two subparts to this test, and it has to proceed in this order. First question is, was there an atypical deprivation when compared to the ordinary incidents of prison life? And this comes from the Sandin v. Carmen that described it. And an atypical deprivation is almost always found in Supreme Court sports when an inmate's term of confinement is prolonged. A classic example is taking away good time convenience. That's why there's so much procedural kind of process protection. I agree. I think it is that simple. Yeah, I agree. That is the essence of this. They had said, we don't want text memory typewriters and typewriters, and you may not use your text memory. Legally, the academics, I think, just seem convoluted given my background, but kind of think of common sense, just, again, even higher than 30 higher. That's the issue. That's true. And the Payne case, which I cited, which is a recent case from this court, in my reading, unequivocally says, Louis V. Casey is the law of the land in the state of Nebraska. I think the issue can be settled here. Jacob, the reason I'm going to such great lengths, I think, to unschool the academics here, is that Jacob makes a curious argument in the briefs of the district court when he says, you guys are talking about rights. You're talking about my right of access to my facts. The word right isn't right. Look at privilege. I am saying I have a privilege. Frankly, it's a sin. Facts in this case, terms in this case, there's an obvious. But what he also does he stitches together all these statutes. He says, look at 83-4123, 4111, Russo v. Miller, Omaha, v. Miller, Miller v. Omaha. And he says, when you cobble together all these statutes and squint in just the right light and write it in just the right way, I get my privilege. And that, under that standard that's step two. That's where you do the analysis. Statutes, law. But he's skipping a piece. This is really, is it atypical for Jacob to deny this typewriter? I mean, that's on the third page of the transcript. There are typewriters you can use in prison law libraries. You know what? They just don't have text.
Plenty absence of prohibiting a texting of a typewriter. Restricts or impair Jacob's access.
Well, it's our position that it's not. Jacob has access to typewriters without text memory. Jacob inmates use them every day. And frankly, he can use any paper. I do a lot of inmate litigation. I've seen some curious handwriting, but nothing so extreme as impossible for him to use pen and paper to access the facts. He would just prefer to use text memory because it's easier. He prefers spell check because spell check cleaner. None of this is impeding his right of access. Now, that second issue I also need to address. That is correct. No, I do not believe so. Because as the district court, I think for a good analysis of case law from this court, Eighth Circuit, and other circuits, let's say there is no inherent right to a typewriter. Frankly, I think even the most liberal reading of his complaint, which he's entitled to, he admits there are typewriters he can't use. He would just like to make it easier on himself. But the Louis v. Casey standard says actual injury. It says you missed a filing. You couldn't even get your case into court. It's a very deferential standard. So I think even on the most liberal reading, you give him so much rope, that second issue I mentioned, he did not specifically plead this, but it's worth mentioning briefly. And that is, his due process property rights to his typewriter. Was there any infringement of that? Answer here is no. This, the persuasive case here, is the Mays v. Houston case, that's the Nebraska Court of Appeals case. And in Mays, we adopt, the Court of Appeals adopts the Tenth Circuit distinction between an inmate's right to use and possess personal property versus that inmate's right to actually own the property. And Mays says your right to use and possess personal property is not protected. But your right to own property is. It is your property. It's your legal right. But you still can't use it or possess it. Now, the distinction is whether or not there's an infringement on that right to own. You look at whether or not the inmate has had sufficient control over that property's final destination. If the inmate has enough control and degree of control as to where that property will ultimately end up, it's an infringement. And I hate to state the obvious, but if you have looked into those exceptions on exhibit number one to this court, it is literally the typewriter that has shown. He had an agent bring the typewriter to the district court, the repair person, and Jacob offered it to the district court. Technically, you have pictures, I'm sure, but they're not pictures that are in your court file. It's the typewriter itself. It clearly had sufficient control. Aware that. Because he had control. There are no further questions. I would ask that you respectfully affirm the district court in this case. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Concludes that argument. The next case is State versus Saylor. Chief Justice Gavitan, you have appealed. Justice Stacey is appealed. Chief Moore is saying.